Hello, Honest to God listener. This is producer Ben, and I just wanted to take a second and ask that if you have a free moment, please leave us a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. It only takes you a second, but it helps us out a ton. Thanks so much, and enjoy this episode.
AM 1160 The Quest presents Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults.
All right, everybody. We are so excited to be here today. You are listening to Honest to God on AM 1160 The Quest, Atlanta Catholic Radio. Thank you guys so much for being here. This is episode 647 of the show. That's a lot. I don't know what episode it is, so I go with it at the beginning of each one. No, but we're really excited. Our topic today is sort of, we have two fairly newly married couples. We're going to open up and just sort of go down the line and tell us about yourself. And then we're going to get into all things babies and marriage and dating and diapers and all kinds of great stuff. I'm not sure what the episode is, but it's something along those lines. This is the title. So we'll start over here with Sean. If you can tell us a little about yourself.
Sounds good. So my name is Sean. I have the great privilege of being the husband of my beautiful wife, Carissa.
Nice.
We were married in January of 2019. And some fun facts about me. I grew up in Georgia. I've been a Georgia native all my life in a small town called Tyrone, Georgia, on the south side. And I grew up with a great upbringing, but not having any real exposure to faith. So I'm a convert to both Christianity, which happened in 2014, as well as a convert then to Catholicism in 2017.
Heck yeah, that's awesome.
Thank you, yes. So praise be to God for that, and praise be to God for Catholic media, because I spent some time back in 2011 while I was working in Seoul, South Korea, of all places, doing a college internship. Started watching Bishop Barron videos on YouTube. So that was kind of my first foot in the door through just evangelization of the Christian faith, much less Catholicism, and have been a big follower of Bishop Barron ever since.
That's awesome. Yeah, we're big fans. Carissa.
All right, I'm Carissa. I was a hula hoop missionary for a long time.
Great.
Started a nonprofit. I've been sober for almost 12 years. I'm a Catholic convert, Easter of 2017, before I met Sean. And then I met my now husband at a hula hoop making party at his house because of AJ. So that is a very fun fact that brought us all together.
Lots of hula hoop related life events. That's cool. Okay. Yep.
And then we have two kids, two little girls. Absolutely love birth so much that I am starting my training to be a doula.
Oh, that is killer. Awesome. That's great. AJ.
All right. Hey, everyone. I'm a matchmaker, apparently, and I am honored to... Well, I'm AJ. You introduced me, I guess, as well. So, fun facts about me. I am married to my amazingly wonderful wife, Sarah. I was born in a small town in Northside in Elbert County, and I'm mirroring mine after Sean, because Sean and I went to school together at Georgia Tech. Inherited my faith growing up Catholic, but didn't really choose to own my faith until the end of college, where the young adult community here in Atlanta really helped guide me back to my faith and to the roots of the church, and really kind of growing in holiness. And then I met Sarah, who's continued to kind of drive me to holiness each and every day. We've been married since 2019 and have one child, our son Roland, who's about a year and a half.
Any hula hoop related news from your life, AJ? Seems to be a theme.
Yeah, I know. Hips don't lie.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I know, Sarah, what would you say?
We've made quite a few hula hoops in our day. Yeah, thanks to Chris.
I thought you were referring to Roland.
No. Hey, everyone. My name is Sarah. As AJ mentioned, I am married to this guy over here. I am also a convert to the faith. Actually, Sean and I went through our RCIA program together, although I could have sworn it was 2018.
It was.
Yes. Okay. Another fun fact. I'm terrible at dates.
Yeah.
It's a good one. It's all right.
2018. Thank you for the correction.
But I was trying to remember. I was like, I've slept since then and had a child, so that's double the memory that you forget. I grew up in the North Georgia Mountains near Blue Ridge. I went to Georgia Tech. I mean, not Georgia Tech. Oh, that was you. I went to UGA and then married someone from Georgia Tech.
Nice.
So house
divided. I didn't know you were allowed to do that. Yeah,
I didn't either. Then it just happened. So, yep. I was actually going to do one little fun fact. I was going to say my favorite food group is Mexican. So, there you go.
I dig it. Yeah. No, that's fantastic.
It's on my list, so I had to say it. But, yes, also the parent of a very energetic toddler. And life is interesting every day.
And let's review real quick. How old is Roland?
One and a half.
One and a half. So you have one 1.5-year-old.
Yep.
And then you guys?
We have 2.5 and some plus, and then a 16-month-old.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Both girls.
That's great. I've got a, I have a 10-year-old, an 8-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 4-year-old wow. right now. So it's a fun. Party, man. It's really, it's really great. Ben, how many kids do you have over there?
No children. I am 19 years old.
All right. Way to go, producer Ben.
Single Good and ready job. To mingle. No.
Ben is not single, ladies.
I am not single,
off the market, girls. We don't need
just don't have any children.
No matchmaking here today.
So this is exciting, and I'm extra excited because I have a little more time with you guys. We're going to try to do a two-parter today. So normally these things just fly by. So hopefully we can get into a little more than we normally do. My first question and my big one, and this won't all just be me asking and you answering. If you have anything to say, just give me a little hand, and I will absolutely bring you in. What years were you married again? Could you guys remind me?
I'm terrible at
January
dates,
2019.
It was January 2019. I think I got
2019,
that one
and then
September 2019.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay. At hula hoop themed weddings in Georgia. That's killer. Okay. Mm-hmm. So my big question is, before we even get into the marriage stuff, I just had a couple of conversations. The last few shows we did were with young people, college students, young adults starting their careers. We talked a lot about dating. Previously, we've talked a lot about community. We've talked about where to find people who are not just going to drag us down, because we live in 2022 in the United States of America. And unfortunately, we're watching the decay of Western civilization all around us. Hopefully, you know, it's going to stop and reverse itself. But right now, I mean, we're living in a pretty difficult position. And I was spoiled, right? I married my wife when I was 21 years old. Mm-hmm. We met in college, and we sort of existed in this sort of, some people might say bubble, but a community, right? And so I was spared a lot of the worst of the worst of what's mm-hmm. going on out there. But what was your dating experience like? Like, when you met this person, right, that you are now married to and sacramentally bound to till the day you die, how exciting, right? But you're doing that in, and I hesitate to use the word Sodom and Gomorrah as an analogy, but just as our broken world that we live in, what does that look like? How do you date and date like you're supposed to now? Any volunteers? I know, heavy stuff.
I guess I'll get us started. So for me, I mentioned I converted to Christianity in 2014, and I was 24 years old at the time. So I had to relearn how to date. And one thing that I learned as I was relearning how to date as a man is just being clear with your intentions as you're getting to know somebody, and to do it with a sense of grace on both sides. Understanding how many emotions are involved in the process of dating. It's a very difficult process to go through, I think, particularly in this day and age because of, right, you mentioned John Henry, we're in 2022. And I think with that, one of the frustrations for me was feeling like, am I on the same page with the opposite sex just when it goes to why I'm dating? Why I'm here, why I'm interested. And I think that one of my things would be clear with your intentions. That was a really helpful thing for me and something that I think was just good, both with the people that I dated prior to meeting my wife.
Can you flesh that out? What does that mean, being clear with your intentions?
Being clear with your intentions in the sense that you are interested in getting to know somebody for the purpose of eventually getting married.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And not just sin is always masked in ambiguity, right? Let's put it that way. So there's a classic behavioral pattern I think that plenty of young people can fall into, whether or not you are in the Christian faith, where, you know, you like to go out, you have some drinks, you're not really brave enough to just straight up ask a girl out on a date. So maybe you just try to see if you can get some, you know, some alcohol involved, or have a party, or be the fun guy, or all these different performance-based behaviors. Whereas when you're clear with your intentions, what you're doing as a man is you're saying, hi, I like you. I think you're beautiful. I'd like to go on a date with you. If you say no, it will hurt.
Right?
Guess what? I'm enough of a man to be hurt. Yeah.
So as somebody who works with high school and college age guys on a pretty regular basis, I have that conversation a lot. And the idea that why I sort of poo-poo the idea of the woman asking the guy out on the date, or the girl proposing to the guy or something, is it's because that is a very masculine thing that requires courage and putting yourself out there. What you're doing, even if it's something as simple as saying, hey, will you go to prom with me? Right. What you're doing is saying, I think that you are worth the risk and the pain and the heartache of walking out on that plank. And I could be rejected. I could be knocked off the side of that, but I'm doing that because you're worth it. And you're also worth me not sending it to you in a text message, but actually saying it to you face to face. That's a little, you know, younger than we're talking about here, but that's a thing that I have conversations with a lot. Mm. Actually having conversations and being up front. And it's a courageous thing that is a very demands a really masculine person to do that. So that's great.
What if you meet halfway when it comes to asking someone out? I'll let AJ.
Oh no, I don't want to get anybody in trouble here, AJ.
No, no. Fun story is like I met Sarah at a wedding. She was the only single bridesmaids, I like to say, and I did, as I got to know her at the wedding a little bit on the way out, I was like, we should totally hang out sometime. And I think we both liked the show Reba, and we like lived not too far from each other in Atlanta, and we're like, we're probably the only people in Atlanta that like the show Reba.
Yes.
We should hang out sometime. And
Reba's in the sitcom with Reba McEntire from like the early 2000s. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Kind of reliving my childhood, I guess. And then Sarah, like I stopped there by and said, I think we should hang out sometime. And then I was in my car at the time when I was leaving the wedding, and then I was going to drive off. And so you walked over and said, that sounds nice. Would you want to ask for my number or something?
Wait,
maybe?
And I'm sorry to keep going back. Did you yell from your rolled down window, we should hang out sometime? And then just
and
sort
then,
of
like, fill off,
start to go forward?
Kind of, like, no, how would you describe it? I was being macho.
So, I mean, it kind of was a romantic setup. We were just, you know, I was, like, leaving the wedding. It was starting to drizzle, and he's driving by with his car and rolls the window down and proceeds to say all the things that he just said. And then just like that, he was like, we should hang out sometime, and then kind of was like inching away. I was like, wait, I feel like this conversation isn't finished yet. And I have never been that bold before, but there was something about him and something in me that was like, well, do you want to ask for my number? And his response was, yeah.
Nice. No, that still counts. You totally took the first step of we should hang out sometime. She wouldn't have sprinted after you yelling, do you want to ask for my number, had you not done that?
Probably not, but thankfully I didn't have to. So.
It was a good compromise.
Yeah, I like that. We met halfway.
It's a good analogy for marriage in general, right?
Yes.
That is way better than the picture of you just like punching it. And But that would have been kind of cool if you had been
like
mysteriously
gravel,
disappeared.
You know?
Yeah. Okay, so both of you are dating, right? Both couples are dating now, right? And once again, you're dating in this world, and we're surrounded by everything from pornography to the hookup culture to 90% of people meeting somebody on Tinder, some dating app or whatever. And I assume there's a lot of pressures from the outside world to behave a certain way, right? To behave in a way that's unchaste, not just physically, but emotionally, mm-hmm. right? And to not view it as... not date towards marriage, right? Which is what we were supposed to do. Was that a struggle? And if so, what did that struggle look like? Yeah.
So before I became a Christian, I had a very, we'll just say a wicked life. I had a pretty dark testimony, addiction, sexual promiscuity. So the Lord healed me a lot. I went through 12-step recovery back in 2010, made amends to a lot of people, have had my own challenges with abuse, assault, etc. So I had a lot to work through. So I had like a new... let's call celibacy for like 10 years. But it was really important to me. I was a missionary. I was traveling. I gave a lot of talks on purity. So for me, like boundaries were extremely important. I also didn't want to date because I had a lot of fear, had a lot of anxiety too.
Right.
But I was like, I will not do dating apps. Like I'm just going to let God, like, you know, blow my mind with who he brings across my path. But as I became a Catholic convert, I just had such a passion for Jesus and mission work. So I actually had gone to a religious life discernment retreat the weekend before meeting Sean.
Cool. That's
and
awesome.
I was like, maybe I should be a nun. And then I went to spiritual direction. I'm like, I'm 50-50. Just God, if you have a husband for me, just drop him in my lap. Literally 2 days later, I met Sean at his house. And I was like, okay, this is like pretty, this is interesting. He asked for my number. I gave him my business card. I went to India the next day for 2 months.
As you do, right? Sure.
So he pursued me on like video call and had a flower
like
over the internet.
Ultimate hard to get. I like that. Okay.
But by the time I came home 2 months later, I said, I really feel this is God's answer. I think I'm going to marry this guy. But we had a very boundary-driven relationship. Mm-hmm. We really were moving fast towards marriage. We kind of knew about marriage quickly. But we, like for Lent, we gave up desire and said we're not going to kiss till the end of Lent and just really wanted our intentions to be pure and make sure that this is the person that God has for me because I didn't want to be derailed from either my my maybe other different vocation or potentially what God had called for either of us.
Yeah, I think as hokey as it can sound, especially in the world that we live in, those hard and fast rules are so important. I remember my wife and I, and you talk about struggling with purity and stuff, where that really comes in is once you're engaged, right? And once it's like, man, we got 2 weeks, nobody would even know. If you had a baby, it's just a little math error, you know? And I remember us being like, our feet are on the ground no matter what. If we're watching a movie, there's no leaning back in
the
chair.
No horizontal. That was our rule. No horizontal.
We said you always had to have 2 feet on the floor. So you're sitting there just sort of rigidly staring at a screen the entire time thinking, man, we're going to be in Belize on a honeymoon in like 4 days. But let's watch, you know, whatever it is. Yeah, that's great.
You can tell if you have chemistry. You don't have to go all the way to explore that the fact that you have incredible chemistry. Well, and we knew that immediately.
And to throw this out, just to keep going down that line, is that chemistry and that desire, like you said, is a good thing.
It's good.
And we as Catholics who are in this world from, you know, if we're raised in the church and we've got good parents, we a lot of times, unfortunately, I feel like our young people sort of have this misconstrued understanding of sex and sexual desire and our human sexuality as it's a scary thing that I need to stay away from because it's bad and it's going to lead me down all these bad paths. And then you have men who are struggling with pornography and you have women who are struggling with promiscuity and all of these things. And so there's almost this lack of comfort with this very good, real thing that God has given us that is a beautiful gift that's just been, you know, distorted by the world that we live in. What about you guys? I'm interested in how you deal with it and hard and fast rules and all of this. Doesn't have to be purity related.
This is like really good because I think for us, because I definitely, I guess, formed bad habits through college and not really owning my faith. And it was definitely a journey back for me. And I think theology of the body and the writing there kind of, to your point, made me realize that these desires weren't bad. They were maybe just like directed in the wrong way. Looked at in the wrong way. And I think as we started dating, I think a really interesting thing for us is you went down your journey to conversion was like putting ourselves in kind of a community-focused environment where we were going to events that called us to holiness or jumping into events at the cathedral and their young adult group to really kind of put ourselves in positions to, I guess, minimize temptation, but also continue to allow us to kind of, we like to say, date in numbers. We always found that we did like a lot of double dates. I don't know, what would you add?
Oh, we did. I will say it's interesting because right before I met AJ, I had kind of entered a stage of my life where I still felt like I was a Christian, but I wasn't necessarily very committed to living that out. And I was kind of in a, I am woman, let me live my life and kind of be free. And I had a community of people who are still precious to me, but in, you know, our relationships have changed a little bit over the years. That would encourage me to just do what was right for me when it came to relationships or if I went on a date or what have you. And that was me. I was like, oh, this is good. I feel good about this. And then it was like literally, I don't know, like 2 weeks later after I decided I felt good with it that God dropped AJ in front of me. And not to say that we did not struggle with our own temptations because we're human and we all do. But I think that as we did surround ourselves with community. I mean, Carissa, it was even, and Sean were some of the first people that I really got to know within our faith-based community. And that changes things. It really gives you the confidence, I think, to be proud and courageous when it comes to just the way that you're handling your relationship with your significant other.
No, I mean, a recurring theme that we've had on this show is this idea of community. And I often say something along the lines of, we aren't meant to live as islands by ourselves, right? You can never, it doesn't matter how convicted you are in your faith, if you're the only person you interact with who feels this way and holds these morals and these truths, then you're gonna struggle. But not as often do people talk about how when you are a couple And if all your other friends who you are with, if you don't have any other good couples or sort of mentor couple, people that you look up to, you're gonna stray. You're gonna go off. And it's a really sad, frustrating thing. I remember going back and hanging out with a bunch of my friends from high school after having a conversion and everything in college, like good buddies, right, from high school, and guys who I thought were really good friends, but you know, we were just kind of using each other to chase girls or to whatever. And I remember walking away and thinking, oh my goodness, how'd they get so gross and weird over such a short period of time? You know, it was a year ago I was down here. And then I had this, oh no, you're gross and weird and you've gotten better. It's not that they've devolved, right? You've actually been around good people and been elevated. Yeah. So that's awesome.
It does. It changes your perspective, and not to put anyone else down, right? There are people and they're all on their own journey, and then you hope by, you know, just being a witness and letting Christ show through you that you can maybe, you know, help others see life a little bit differently like you did. But I do think even now, I mean, AJ and I have been married for almost 3 years and we have a child together. My friend group in particular is fairly diverse. So when you talk about all the things that we're being exposed to right now, I have quite a few friends who are, you know, rah-rah for a lot of the things that as Catholics we are very, very strong in our stance on, and that's not what they believe. So it's even as like as a couple, as an individual, we're, you know, having to kind of fight that fight every day. But it's our faith that grounds us, you know. If we're ever feeling really lost and confused, whether it's as a parent or as a couple, we're like, okay, well, what's the one thing we know for sure? And it's like, let's sit down and pray, or, you know, get some scripture. And we can always be better about that, sure, you know, obviously. No. We all can. But that was something that when we started dating, and I finally realized that there was something really cool about the Catholic Church. I was digging it. And it was just this common ground that me and him now had that we could always come back to.
No, praise God. And I want to get around to babies and all these things, but I am curious. And this, I guess, is more directed towards the husbands. Maybe that'll sound chauvinistic, but that's okay. Not chauvinism as a concept, just if it sounds that way. So you're dating this wonderful woman, right? And things are going well, and you're starting to think about the marriage, the possibility of marriage. And like we said earlier, you know, dating for marriage is sort of the idea. When did you realize, or how did you realize, yeah, I need to go ahead and lock that down before she wises up a little bit? Like, what do you do?
Oh, this is not going to be good for me.
I'm trying to think of a specific moment where I knew, and gosh, it was pretty off the bat for me. And one thing, we were just talking about chastity, and something someone shared with me, actually, as we were early on dating, that was just gold to my ears. Because we always talk about chastity as, well, I'm Catholic, I'm Christian, I know this is the right way to do things, but what's the so what of doing that? And someone said, don't discount the prize of chastity. You're making this huge decision about who you're going to spend the rest of your life with. You're about to take one of the greatest risks that life has to offer. Jumping into marriage, not knowing, right, in sickness and in health, not knowing if this beautiful person that you're marrying could get into a fire the week of your honeymoon. You don't know these things, right? We can't possibly know those things. And so there's this prize of chastity where as you are going through the dating process and you're remaining chaste to that process, you have a clarity about where you're going. And It's something I wrote. I mentioned Bishop Barron in the beginning. I wrote this on our wedding website before we got married. It was about the greatest of friendships and the greatest of loves is when people are chasing after God together, right? Mm-hmm. It's having some type of elevated third, right? So you can think of great friendships as AJ and I both went to Georgia Tech. We both love a lot of similar things. So we have a great friendship because of those things that we like. And ultimately, my wife and I have a great marriage because we both love Jesus. We've both been saved by the blood of Christ. Amen. We've both been brought into this incredible banquet and the fullness of the Catholic Church together.
Right.
And I would say that as I became Catholic, especially, because that was a big question mark for me, being a strong Protestant and then dating a Catholic, that as I got clarity from God about the truths of the Catholic Church and what they had to offer, it just all made sense. Of course I was going to marry the beautiful Catholic right. woman that was now just conveniently in my lap, right? So, well, not literally, because you're being chased until marriage.
But back to your question about how did you know, I basically told him, if you want to come to India with me on this mission trip next year, I worked back a deadline. You have to go through 6 months of marriage prep. You need to propose like in the next 3 weeks, or we're going to be in separate rooms in India for an entire month.
My wife did the exact same thing. So we were about to graduate from college, or she was going to graduate. She was a year older than me. And she sat me down, and my wife is not a real in your face kind of person at all. She's very meek and mild and beautiful and all, you know, she's delicate, right? And she said, so John Henry, I was looking at grad schools because I don't know what I'm going to do next year. And if you can't tell me what I'm going to do next year, I'm going to go to one of these grad schools and maybe somebody can tell me what I'm going to do next year. It was very much like, get your crap together and propose. And I was like taken aback. I'm like, yeah.
Hey, I go shopping tomorrow.
He told me later he went to the ring shop the very next day. And yeah.
Just for the record, I'm not great at dates, but if I remember correctly, that conversation was about 5 months into dating.
Yeah, probably.
But that's awesome. I don't know why we feel the need to drag these things out. I really don't.
And in hindsight, it was the greatest thing to just keep moving forward. I feel like I prayed and waited so long to meet the woman, right? Because I wanted a wife very badly. And when one walked into my door and I was real excited about dating and all these things, it was just like, here we go, God. And we'll get into that in a minute with, you know, then the children came and it was just like all of a sudden it's like you wait and you wait and you wait and then you meet the person and it's just 0 to 60.
Waterfall.
It's just, and it's invigorating. It's fun. It's, but it's also exhausting.
Yeah.
And so that whole ride into marriage, into parenthood, I wouldn't have had it any other way, but yeah, it was a blur, man. It was a bit of a blur.
Praise God. AJ and Sarah, we're going to get to you guys in a minute. I want to hear the same question to you guys, but we're going to take a break right now. I think you guys have some babies to check on. So
yes,
it's going to be a lot of fun.
More of Honest to God is coming up on AM 1160, The Quest.
Let's see. I have Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, and Paramount Plus, Spotify, and Apple Music.
Is that all?
Oh, and HBO Max.
There's nothing wrong with having streaming service subscriptions, but is it helping to bring you and others closer to Christ? Consider making the cost of one of those services to be your monthly donation to The Quest. We're totally listener-supported. We rely on donations from people like you.
And SiriusXM, too.
Please, prayerfully consider making a monthly donation to support AM 1160 The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
Do you enjoy great Catholic programming like Honest to God? Well, it can only thrive with donations from listeners like you. So if you have an extra dollar or two, consider giving it to The Quest Atlanta so we can continue to make great Catholic content like this.
And now back to Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160, The Quest.
All right, we are back for our second part of our two-parter. Babies have been checked on. Bathrooms have been used. We are in good shape.
Yeah, everyone's good to go.
Yeah, we're excited. You're listening to AM 1160, The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. This is Honest to God. And when we left off, I think that we just had Sean and Carissa share their, how did you know? How did you know it was time to do this? And Sean's answer was, it seemed like a wonderful idea. Also, Carissa said I had to right then, or else we were going to be sleeping at opposite ends of some Indian service trip. Right. Great. Awesome. I love it. So AJ and Sarah, do you want to tell us? How'd you know?
I'll jump in. I'll kind of caveat with one thing that we were talking about on the break about Sean and Carissa and how we knew when they were the right fit for each other is we were hosting a ministry event at our place for Carissa's, for the Hula Hoop ministry.
So it all comes back to the Hula Hoop.
Circle
of life. I
don't
have any idea what the Hula Hoop ministry is, and I don't want it explained. I've got all these ideas in my head, and I love
it. We'll keep it a mystery, yeah. One of life's best mysteries, yeah.
You'll have to stay tuned if you ever want to learn what the Hula Hoop ministry is.
On episode 727.
It's coming right up.
So for us, we realized because Sean was a, I was a night owl. Sean would go to bed at 9 maybe and
8:30.
After
me
that
too,
event,
man, I get it.
Like we realized that Sean had stayed up till like midnight.
It was one, and then
walked like Carissa to the car to help her load up all the hula hoops and other things from the ministry event. And
as you do with the hula hoop ministry,
And, and we were like, I think Sean and Carissa, like, hey, there could be some chemistry there. Like, I've never seen Sean stay up this late. And so, like, we were like, that's when we knew.
That's for them.
And then when we met at the wedding, the funny thing is I was on a phone call while driving to the wedding with my mentor. And he was telling me the story of how he met his wife and how it was like kind of he knew right away when he met her. And I had been going through some rocky dating experiences on Tinder and other things. But story for another time of sure. online dating, which
we'll do a whole episode on your Tinder experience,
yeah,
AJ.
Which is I need another 27 minutes.
Tears and Tinder. Just kidding.
It writes itself. No, I like it.
We started a new show now. For me, like when I went to the wedding, I ended up on the way back calling my mentor and being like, I actually think I just met the one. What? She lives in Atlanta, not too far from me. And we both like the shows, like sitcom Reba. Yeah. There's got to be something here.
Reba and Hulu. Yeah. No, I like all this.
So that's what I knew. I think it was the wedding. And I think from there, it was this, I don't know, fast burn, slow burn as we continued to walk it together and date towards Christ. As like we started down this path of like calling you as you were looking for a community and in the Christian faith and started coming to church with me and meeting some of like the awesome like people in the young adult community where you started to form connections and friendships with other women and were able to ask them questions.
Yeah, I took all your friends.
And took all my friends, yeah. Actually became better friends with some of them, yeah, to the tune that like they've been either in our wedding or godparents or you name it. But for us, I think it was this kind of, I knew like there was a spark off the bat. And then it just continued to grow as I think we started to journey towards Christ. And we still had our slip-ups and everything, but for me, I knew from the get-go. I don't know about if you feel the same way.
So I'm still figuring it out. No, just kidding. No,
you think he might be the one, Sarah?
I think he might be. We're trending in a good direction here. Yeah. No, it may not have been right away, but I definitely knew that there was something different about him. And that there was a reason we should be talking. And so I was very open from the beginning to continue dating him. I wasn't like one and done, like, you know, oh, I'm not sure about it. Let's just be on our way. I actually remember at one point thinking that we were so alike, I wasn't sure if it was going to work out. But there was definitely a spark there. So I was like, okay, we can make this work.
So just to put it out there bluntly, when he asked you to marry him, why did you say yes?
Because he gave me a fake ring that lit up like a...
Did you really? It wasn't a real diamond the first time? You gave her like a...
It was hiding outside the church that proposed on Christmas, right? At Christmas, yes. After Christmas Mass?
Yes. Okay, so actually, we're going to change the segment up a little bit. This is advice to any future couple.
Please.
That, you know,
I'd love it.
Maybe consider proposing with the real ring. But I will say, I always have a good story from
surprise.
Now. It was a double surprise.
So you had the real ring hidden when you gave her the fake ring.
He did.
You just wanted to make her really mad before you made her really happy. I like
definitely.
That.
Definitely. But it all worked out for the best. But when I was considering converting, he was obviously an inspiration for me, but so was all the other people that I was spending time with. And then as I continued to go through it, I was like, wow, this person that I am dating is also fully in support of every area of my life that I'm being encouraged to walk towards that is going to only better my experience here on this earth, you know? And so to know that that is what that other person wants for you, to help each other become saints, you know, that was something that I just couldn't deny it. That was like, how could I not want to do life with this person? And we're not without our struggles and our troubles, you know, as a married couple. But again, we're in this together.
Yeah, and I think so many people need to hear that, right? I think we've just had our minds sort of diluted from romantic comedies and all of this stuff that, and we talked about this on a recent episode, that love is just this feeling, and I'm constantly going to feel these butterflies, and I'm constantly going to feel the way I felt about you when I had a crush on you and was thinking about you all the time. And I said this to a group of single guys in a recent episode. I always love my wife. I've made that decision. It's a movement of the will, and it has a lot of times feelings are tied up with it, but I don't always like my wife, and she doesn't always like me because we're human beings, and we're broken,
love
and we're
is
difficult.
A battlefield.
Exactly. That's our. We gotta check the trademark on that. But I think we can keep that in there. So okay. So you get married, right? And you're newly married, and you're the only one, AJ, who wasn't a convert, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So you're all newly married. 3/4 of you are newly Catholic. Mm-hmm. What were your biggest surprises going into marriage?
pregnant within the first 3 weeks.
Heck yeah, way to go.
Boom. Yeah.
Thanks, Creighton. We now use Marquette.
This show is sponsored by the Marquette Method of NFP.
Yes.
But aren't you glad? Wasn't it wonderful?
Oh, yeah, so glad. No, I'm just kidding. Being open to life is a blessing. I never in my previous life before becoming Catholic was really excited about babies. I'll be honest. Like I knew at some point I might want kids. I always said 4 years of age and older, potty trained, adopted. Like I never had this like strong maternal instinct. So becoming Catholic and learning about openness to life has truly changed me as a person. Becoming a mom, especially like really unexpected and really quickly, changed me as a person, has rooted out a little bit selfishness in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. Still so much there to uncover, but it was wow, we're pregnant, and I literally don't know what I'm doing. I was deathly ill for a couple months both times. So it's just extremely hard, and you're still trying to figure out getting my name changed legally and setting up our little apartment. And it was a very challenging season and beautiful, like being thrown straight into sacrificial love and being thrown straight into commitment and responsibility and seeing the grace of God poured over that was a blessing that now we cannot imagine our life without our two little girls.
Well, I'm really glad you said what you said about selfishness. I had somebody, a college student, say to me the other day something along the lines of how much more difficult it must be when you're married and you have children to do all of those things that are so good for us. She said, how can you go to, you know, you can't go to adoration as often, or it's probably harder to go to daily mass. I said, it was the exact opposite for me as an only child, right, who loves to hear myself talk, loves my me time. It's the most like out forcing me to be outward and intentional towards another person, because my wife is great. She's a fully functional human, though, who can take care of herself. And me saying, no, I need to go to mass more because this person needs to see, this little tiny human that I'm in charge of has to see how important that is to us. And now, even though I am grumpy and it's a Tuesday and it's my only day off this week or whatever it is, we got to go to mass. We got to go to adoration. Hey, we should go to confession. I know you're not old enough to go to confession, but you can sit outside and have memories of how we used to go to confession together and then go get ice cream or whatever. And it had the exact opposite impact that I think a lot of people think it's going to have. Mm-hmm. What about you guys? Big surprises?
I think the interesting thing for us is like, well, Sarah's like so easygoing, and I'm so grateful for this, is we became accidentally or like without – intentionally, it's something that kind of the opportunity fell in our laps of we became new homeowners, landlords, and married within the like week of each other. So it was kind of like these life changes really quickly for us. And so I think from going, you know, from our marriage and a beautiful wedding to our honeymoon to jumping right into this like new stage of life with all these other changes was, I think, crazy. And I'm trying to think of like how it was for us, because we started to renovate our place while living with our friends, and
bless them. They're not Catholic, but
shout out to Corgan and Allie.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
they are.
Did you learn anything new about one another in doing that?
Yes, that we probably shouldn't do home renovations together.
Right. Yeah. That's an important life lesson. You're not Chip and Joanna.
Yeah, and that's okay.
Like you do,
okay.
Yeah.
You know, I'll take it. I'm gonna channel my inner Joanna Gaines. That was probably a big one. But you know what's funny is that's okay. Right. It's okay that we don't do home projects super well together. We learn that about ourselves, I know it does. But it's just one of those things where we had to adapt, you know, and figure it out. And I think it's funny when you get married, you just like, you want things to be really great and perfect, or, you know, I don't know, at least I think I did. But that's not always the way that it is. And so if you're open to, I guess, being adaptable and moldable, your chances are probably better, you know, for success. And I think that's the same when it comes to parenthood. I still don't know what I'm doing. I am figuring it out every single day, but the Lord's grace sustains me. And you know, we're a team here. How long have we been married before we found out we were expecting?
Well, that's a good question.
About a year.
I guess, yeah.
Knows.
I know.
Yeah. She's good with dates.
We also followed the Creighton model, but it worked for us on this end. So sponsored by Creighton, sponsored by Marquette.
Our children are sponsored by Creighton.
Yes, they are.
That was good.
I think that the big surprise for...
Can we please put a link to Creighton and Marquette methods in the show notes? let the viewer decide.
We'll have a poll, actually, yeah, poll. Which I don't think that
we make
we'll
a lot
win.
Of jokes about it, yes. But we truly love it.
Well, and I really want to dig. I want to dig into that because I liked what you said a minute ago about how it's a constant thing. It's a constant process, not NFP necessarily. I mean that too, but the getting to know one another. I still don't fully know what it means to die to myself, mm-hmm. but I learn a little bit more every day, and God willing, I get a little bit better every day. And some days I don't, and I go to confession, and I say the same things over and over again mm-hmm. about not being as good of a husband and not being as good of a father and all of these things. But there is growth, and there's something to the understanding of marriage that the church has, which also happens to be shared by God, which mm-hmm. is super convenient, that you are with this person. Like, yeah. they are yours and you are theirs. Flesh of one flesh forever and ever, amen. So, you know, buckle up, buttercup. Yeah. It's okay. Like, you can do it.
AJ is also one thing, and you can repeat it because I feel like you have the steps in order, so to speak. But one thing that AJ always mentioned to me was that, like, life is so distractible. You know, you have work and family and responsibilities, and then you're like, what order are you in? You know, like, is God first? Is your family second? Is work third? That was kind of, you know, because work is important, right? We're still called to use our skills and our gifts in this life, but that's so easy to take precedent when you get swamped with your responsibilities. And AJ is a part of so many different things. We could also have a segment on that, of all the things that he's doing, which are great and wonderful, and they benefit our family in so many ways. But whenever he feels like he's getting torn away from what really matters, is we try to come back and have that conversation of, like, faith, family, and then work. And we do that a lot because, you know, that's life.
No, absolutely. That's great. So I want to go back to NFP for a little bit, and this might be a little TMI.
Love TMI.
Mom, if you're listening, I apologize for sharing this with the world. My wife and I we've never practiced NFP, right? Either direction, really. We've always used the we'll see what happens method. And
God's family planning.
Yeah, we were on. Yeah, exactly. GFP. Yeah. And we were on an every 2-year rotation there for a while. We're still waiting for number 5 to show up, and we'll see. It's been wonderful. But I am curious about your experience with it, and you seem to be a little bit of a brain trust on that, Carissa. Well, you've talked about the methods that work and the methods that haven't, and you're interested in becoming a doula. And I'm curious about that experience. Obviously, we're not looking for explicit details, but what has that experience been? Because you hear all this. Anytime you go on Catholic Answers or whatever, it's all these glitz and glamour stories of, oh, it's wonderful. It's like a honeymoon every month because whatever. And that's not true. I'm not knocking Catholic Answers. Great website. Check it out. But those, I think we have this like rose-colored view of NFP that isn't super accurate all the time.
Yeah.
So can you speak to that?
Yeah, it's difficult. It's a daily practice usually with NFP, and you have to observe fertile and infertile windows.
Right.
So you're constantly making a choice of like being open to life, like, and having those conversations all the time. I'll say that the positive of that is open communication with your spouse. So mm-hmm. where you're always in communication of, is this a right timing? And then you're mm-hmm. but either way, if you're still like, well, this is not like the best timing because of this or that, or trying to wait a year postpartum for medical reasons, you're yeah. still always open to God and
right.
and the miracle of life. And so it keeps that trust level really high, mm-hmm. but then it builds trust with your spouse and builds communication with your spouse. So I think it's been really healthy for us. And we also like schedule things out because we're like, okay, this is going to be like our
sure.
2 weeks. So we're going to do like a really cool date night, or we're going to plan a trip on this time. Or we like look forward to those windows of,
right.
Of like,
no, I get it. We get it.
Yeah. So we like look forward to those opportunities
to have sex.
Yeah.
Yes. We're allowed to say, say sex on the radio.
We plan it
yes.
really well. And there's other times too where we're like really in the mood, we'll just say, and we're like, hey, this is just not like the right timing for our family. And we're deciding a little bit. We feel like we have more of an objective view now with Marquette
right.
of like trying to space out our kids a little bit more, give ourselves a bit of a financial break after 2 back to back. In that way, we look for other really great things to do in our relationship. How can we build intimacy without the like sexual contact right now, with like books or movies or getting to know each other? So we've grown in different ways when we're
right.
getting all heated.
I love it. I mean, the communication piece was so interesting. We have all these friends who do it, and you're sitting
Sorry.
On the beach having conversation with your friends and you're talking about like mucus viscosity and all this. Yeah. And there really is this like, the other day I was on a beach retreat, right, with a bunch of youth group kids. And I was sitting with one of the other youth ministers, actually the wife of one of the youth ministers who was there with us. And I'm sitting next to this woman who's quite pregnant. And we're just like talking about menstrual cycles. Let's just talk about your period for a little while. Sure. Let's talk about what that looked like. And then when did you have, like, just with some person, you know, it's just, it's pretty common conversation when you're with these people.
Cervical mucus.
Well, and I love it though, because it destigmatizes things that should not be stigmatized, right?
Oh yeah.
It's so cool. And it's so natural. And our bodies are designed like by God. They're really incredible.
That's awesome.
I love to talk about it.
It's great.
Also for us, it's been like, awesome. I think to your point too, like rose-colored glasses. I do think more on the positive side, the communication thing is interesting because it allows us a foundation to kind of dialogue of like, hey, how are you feeling today? Like, how are things looking? Like, are you feeling like any certain way? And like Sarah's like, I don't know if the timing's right, or like
maybe we should just watch a movie to be intimate by holding hands on the couch.
But then it gives us time to pray through, like, are we trying to control kind of our life as opposed to just an opportunity to bring God into the conversation? And I think recently, like, we definitely prayed, right? And I don't know if we have a baby soon. We'll know it was probably from following kind of the prayer of God. And,
no, not that I know.
Do you want to announce it right now to our millions of AM radio listeners?
No, I'm just kidding. No, if y'all would be knowing before us if that was the case. So as of right now, no new babies coming. But just to add on to that, it was really funny because I realized I was trying to like consider when we have a baby, next child, around a vacation that I planned for next June. And I was doing this silently, right? I wasn't shouting from the mountaintops like, we can't have a baby then because of this. But I realized it was happening. And I was like, huh. I think I might be trying to control this just a little too much. This is not a super, super valid reason to be
that's convicting.
Open to life or not. I'm not saying it's not warranted, you know, like absolutely if you have things going on, but I was like that there wasn't enough reason for us to say, hey, absolutely not, you know, like, but I did realize that I definitely needed at least a year. I was like, I felt like I was gaining my own body back from having a child, feeding a child, caring for that child 24/7. You don't just sustain a baby for 9 months. You sustain them for much longer after that. Right. And then the dad comes in and helps. Yeah, 18 years. Yes. So anyway, I think that there's something very valid to waiting a little bit and,
but I love you saying, I love the openness of you saying that I realized I was looking at this kind of the wrong way. And that's the distinction between NFP and birth control, right? And just popping a pill every day.
Yeah. I really want to have that margarita, so we're going to wait another month, you know? Yeah.
Right. No, that's awesome. Let's flash forward a little bit. So NFP has worked or it hasn't, depending on, you know, where you were, what you were thinking. And now you got a baby. I have my youngest right now is 4. She's starting preschool in 5 days, something like that.
Oh, wow.
Oh, it's awesome. And so we're about to, I hate to say empty nesters, but that really is kind of what it feels like. It's like nobody has to be at the house constantly all the time now. The kids are actually somewhere for a little while during the day and everything. And so when I think about a baby, I think about my big four-year-old as a baby, because that's the babiest baby I have right now. Mm-hmm. And I forget so much about what having an infant is like. And I'm not so interested in hearing about your experience raising this infant as I am your relationship and how it's affected by raising this baby. And I think that's something, once again, rose-colored glasses, we all pretend and lie to ourselves. I mean, even after we've done it, I don't even think we realize we're lying, right? But as if it's all sunshine and butterflies, and it's not, and it's hard on a couple, and it's so good and so worth it. But from dad's perspective, Sean, like, what was that like?
Well, I go back to, and I'll bring it into having the baby, but in our premarital counseling, the deacon who was doing our premarital counseling had a crucifix on his wall. Mm-hmm. And in the middle of premarital counseling, he would always point to it at some point. And he would look at me and he would say, that's what love looks like. If you want to understand love, that's what love looks like. Flash forward to having a baby. AJ, you mentioned all the life changes. I had an illusion about what marriage would be. Okay, I was chaste. We waited. I thought marriage was going to be a full year practicing NFP, right? Until we were ready to have the child of having sex and going on trips and all these different right. things. As she mentioned, she got really sick right away. So, I mean, a few weeks into marriage, a lot of those things were out the window.
No sex.
Right. Right.
No sex. Waking up early to go to my job and trying to help her with things. I had a new job that was putting me in a consulting role an hour and a half north of Atlanta right after we had our first daughter, Teresa.
Oh, my goodness.
And it right. took 2 hours to come home. Nursing was not going well for her. I was waking up, I think, around 5 a.m., and I would try to feed the baby who was not sleeping well at night. I would drive an hour and a half in traffic. I'd do my best at my job. I'd drive 2 hours home. I would come home around 7 p.m. to a wife who was dealing with a lot of depression, dealing with a lot of frustrations of being in a small, we were at a condo or as newlyweds. Again, we thought we had all this time to buy a house before the kid, mm-hmm. you know, all these things that just didn't yeah. work out. And I started with that story of the crucifix, because if I have one thing that just sustains me day in and day out when those difficult days come, we have a crucifix over our bedroom door. The first thing I do when I get out of bed in the morning is I hit my knees and I say a prayer, and it always ends with, "Lord, make me a channel of your peace and your love to others, especially to my wife and to my, now I say my two little girls," right? Because I have
that's
them
beautiful.
Both.
Yeah.
And it's just a reminder to me. I mean, I literally, it's like I hear that man, like, you know, I don't know, Yoda talking to Luke Skywalker, you know, or, you know, whoever, I guess it's Obi-Wan Kenobi. Sorry, I'm also bad with
I trust
references.
You. Yeah,
it's like dates. You know, but it's like I hear that voice in my head, like, that's what love looks like. And it's just that little reminder in the morning to look up and go, okay, sick wife in the bed, you know, screaming child, didn't sleep last night, have to somehow get in a car and drive an hour and a half north to get to your job. And do your best there. And you go, well, this is what I signed up for when I became Catholic.
Right.
Truly. And you always go to the saints and you hear about the graces that they receive through really embracing this idea of love through suffering. And one of the great privileges of my life is I get to watch my wife blossom, my daughters blossom, and others around me blossom when I embrace that, right? When I'm willing to put aside my selfishness and do those things, just do the next right thing. Just get my butt out of bed and just try to get, you know, some formula heated up or some, you know, breast milk in the fridge heated up so I can feed the baby and give my wife another extra hour of sleep. I get to watch the benefit of that over time. And that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. I mean, death to self in action, right?
Yeah.
Wow. That's great. That yeah. Movie. Yeah. Y'all go ahead and follow that, because that was pretty phenomenal.
Ditto. No,
I was going to say, how are things now?
Great. Yeah, we have two toddlers now, and the second round nursing went amazing, 14 months. So just like you learn a lot, like first time parent versus second time parent, that confidence grows. And we have crazy days, like mostly at eating times. But we feel very blessed by the health of our kids, by the stage of life that we're in. We're very blessed by our community, just a wonderful community at St. Bridget and moms groups and dad's walking groups, and just so filled with joy, the life that we have because of the mercy of God.
Well, it is amazing how you get into that routine and what seems so impossible. And some people I know struggle in much worse ways than I have, and even worse ways than you guys did for sure. But you realize eventually it wears away that sense of selfishness that we all have. And we're not called to live for ourselves, right? Do you guys want to touch on at all your experience?
And really quickly, you guys have a bigger house now, so you're probably in a better place, right, than the condo,
but yes.
And closer to the Alpharetta or St. Bridget's, as you mentioned. I think having Roland is such like a physical manifestation of like the Trinity, of like someone physically there that we have to serve each and every day. So it like
100%.
Like requires kind of this selflessness, or in a way to sustain him, and a reminder of like the, you know, in a way of prioritizing others, like we've named it already, of kind of like dying to self. So for us, I think it's been so amazing to us, but I think it's just a testament to how like good of a mom Sarah is and spouse, like of kind of helping us, because I work and then you
good
really
job,
kind
Sarah.
Of
help.
Yeah. So
she's awesome.
So I give all the credit to you.
Well, I'm the first to critique myself, as I think we all can be. We're our own biggest enemies, but yeah, just what AJ said, it's it has come with some of the most amazing and beautiful experiences I could ever ask for, and also the most challenging. They both go hand in hand, but if that's not our life here on earth and our walk with God, what else is?
Right.
You know, so it's all going to bless us in ways that we have yet to experience, or we are experiencing and haven't realized it yet. So
absolutely. Yeah. Y'all, that was incredible. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank
you.
We're
about to close out, but first I want to just go down the line real quick and just a quick answer. If you imagine that you are a person giving advice to somebody who is just engaged, newly engaged, and you get to give them one piece of advice of what not to do between now and when they get married, or through their young adulthood, right? For the next, they're getting married in 6 months. You're going to give them advice on what not to do between now and 2 years from now. What is it? And we've started with Sean a lot. We'll start with Sarah.
Oh man.
Sorry to put you on the spot, Sarah.
Okay. I don't know if this is going to be a good answer because I'm the first one to answer. So you can tell me if I have to try again.
We can have producer Ben answer first if you want.
I was going to say set expectations, but don't... instead of making assumptions about maybe how life is going to be as you enter together as a married couple.
Okay. Can you say that one more time?
I set expectations instead of making assumptions.
I like that.
Or communicate expectations.
Communicate. There you go. That's probably better. Communicate expectations.
Yeah. And so for like what not to do, I think for us, we got in a really good habit of...
It's all right. We'll just flip it.
What to do. Yeah. We'll switch it up. We're changing the answer.
This is what happens when you let Sarah go first.
So what not to do. We got in a really good rhythm of praying virtually together at night because when we're living in separate places. When we got married, I think we struggled to kind of get into the habit of praying together, crazy enough. That was kind of a funny thing that I remember. So what not to do is if you have a routine around prayer or other things leading up to marriage, continuing that as the life changes may happen. So I think what to do is continue to create a priority for prayer.
Awesome. That's great.
I would say don't focus so much on the wedding that you miss out on the prep for the marriage.
Awesome. That's great advice.
Go to a great retreat.
One up.
Go, take your pre-Cana seriously. Make it fun and, pour into the marriage. Take an NFP class. Do really cool stuff. Don't worry. The wedding day is not the be all.
And it's over like that, and you barely remember it anyway.
We didn't even eat any of our food. So just focus on the marriage and put your resources into that.
Cold crab cakes. That's all I got to eat. Old cold crab cakes.
Gross.
Yeah. It was awful. The wedding was great. The crab cakes were not.
Just gross.
Yeah.
We got chicken fingers at McDonald's after because we hadn't eaten for 12 hours. Yeah.
Best chicken fingers of my life.
Oh. calm down.
This
was may or may not have been a euphemism. This show also brought to you by Chicken Fingers. Sorry, Sean, whenever you're ready.
Wow, Lord have mercy. No. This came from reading a great book, which I'll plug here, by Greg and Lisa Popcheck, if I'm pronouncing that last name correctly.
Yeah.
We read a great book by them, and one of the things, they put phases of your marriage in there. And one of the things I remember reading, which stuck out to me, because remember, I've got the Protestant background, was don't put other ministry commitments ahead of your primary ministry commitment of your marriage and your family. Mm-hmm. And that was just such a valuable one for me, because there's so much excitement in a period of engagement. You're so ready to go out and do all the things with all the people, and you're going to start going to, you're going to join a parish and be a family and be a unit. And putting that ministry of your wife and children first. I mean, if you got nothing else out of this segment, it's a lot. It can really be a lot to step into marriage, particularly as a Catholic when you're open to life. Mm-hmm. And allow that to come first, and the ministry commitments and the additional things that you get to do will come with time.
Yeah, your primary vocation is always to your spouse.
That book is called Holy Sex.
Holy Sex. Awesome.
Awesome.
We'll put that in the show notes.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, thank you guys. That was amazing. It was a great closing question. Way better than the how many cats could you take in a fight question we did.
Yeah, that one was a little a little iffy.
Yeah, it's all right. This one was better. So thank you guys so much for being here. Thank you, everybody, for watching. You are listening to 1160 AM The Quest, Atlanta Catholic Radio. This is Honest to God. Thank you.
This has been Honest to God. What's on your mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160 The Quest.